I'm just entering the Bontlhé rest camp. As one comes in, the first little loop of campsites is known as Rhino. Away to the west of the camp, there's an open plain and there's a water hole, but it's so dry at the moment, I don't know that there's much water in it. I can see a warthog and what looks like a kudu on the sort of open clearing, but I know from experience that the reason it's called Rhino is that crashes of rhinoceros move through the area, which is totally unfenced, and you might be able to hear that shrieking sound. That's a Bennett's woodpecker, which is quite an exciting little find. Yeah, there are some kudu moving through. Yeah, so an exciting little scene. At the moment, it's out of season. There's only one, maybe two campsites that appear occupied. One little caravan. And that's in the first loop. I see a couple more in the second loop, which I think is called Sesebi. But as I move along and when we get there, I'll confirm that. And then the safari tents, which are a recent addition, are round the back, and I think that's called the Sable Loop. There's quite a few kudu, and there is a bit of water in the water hole. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, at least 9 kudu, a couple of impala, and 3 or 4, maybe even more, warthog getting down on their elbows or in the way they do, and sticking their snout into the earth, foraging for roots and grubs and whatever they can eat. They are omnivorous, so their diet is a bit more varied than some of the classic herbivores. But yeah, a great sight. And I'm sure if I keep my eye on the area, we might see something special. A rhino, at least one. I'm actually going to try and get a little closer and turn the engine off and give you an update. And as I mentioned earlier, the second campsite loop is Sesebi, and it has 1 to 12 berths. And just driving down there now. I'm going to try and get a sight of the rhino, and quite special. And what's amazing, there's no fence around this camp, but there's just a series of sort of gum poles that are dug into the earth. And I'm just stopping probably on top of one of the campsites, turning the engine off. So to the west of the camp is an open expanse of open felt with less trees than most of the surrounding felt. I suspect it was cleared in years gone by as part of the agriculture that took place in the area, and now provides a water hole and an opportunity for the animals to come through. That rhino that I mentioned has moved off. I can't see it at the moment, but I can see a lot of other game. There's a crested barbet, which is a very colourful bird with a chunky bill related to woodpeckers, that is sort of foraging on the ground in front of my vehicle. And you can hear that sort of whistling sound. That's some helmeted guinea fowl that are sort of coming down to drink, I would assume. Just a bit more of a description of what the campsite area looks like as I compete with that helmeted guinea fowl I was mentioning earlier. The tallest trees in the campsite are leadwood, which are massive, very hard-wooded trees. And because of the lack of rain, they're pretty much bare at this time. There's a couple of other large trees, some buffalo thorn, many of which are home to colonies of white-browed sparrow weavers, which make very messy, unkempt nests out of grass. Not the sort of neat, tidy nest that your classic weaver bird makes. Far more unkempt, but nevertheless interesting to see. There's quite a few dead trees that line felt, and I guess that's all part of the cycle of nature. And they look quite picturesque as the sun sinks down towards the horizon, as we've probably got about an hour of daylight left today. Still incredibly warm, very pleasant being here out in the bush. I'm here at the entrance of Safari Tent 5, my abode for the night. The tents have a canvas structure around the walls of the bedroom chamber with lattice gun poles of thin and some thick beams in the roof, a corrugated iron roof, and then a concrete section which houses the ablutions. Unit 5, the one I'm in, is designed for people with mobility impairment, and hence the parking area is paved, and there's a gentle ramp from the parking area up to the outside veranda of the unit. And it's pretty close to the campsite, more so than the other units, which is great for allowing people to wander close to the waterhole and perhaps do some game viewing from within the confines of the camp. The pathway to the tent number 5 is a gentle gradient, probably about 1 in 4, and it's bricked, and it's about a meter, maybe even slightly more wide, and the paved area of parking is relatively flat and is probably about 5 meters wide. So ample space for a person in a wheelchair to disembark from their vehicle on either side of the vehicle and still have room to move around. Yeah, they've done a good job there. Yeah, and I think the gradient is perhaps even shallower than what I described, maybe 1 in 5, 1 in 6. And the veranda area, the braai stand or barbecue stand, is completely surrounded by flat paved bricks. A person in a chair will be able to maneuver around easy enough. The tent is sort of lined by a few of the natural woodland trees, wild syringas and Terminalia cerisea. That's the silver cluster leaf, are two that I recognize. Because it's so dry, there's not too much shade at the moment, but yeah, it's a nice time of day. The veranda consists of just an open area, and then the kitchenette, which contains a sink, some hot plates, some drawers, and a fridge, is behind steel mesh with a padlock and a bolted latch. And I guess that's because the primates, both the baboons and the vervet monkeys, are notorious thieves and very clever, so they soon learn to associate human activity with food supply, and that's the way to keep things safe so that people don't lose their food. Now that I'm a little closer, I see there's also a microwave that looks relatively accessible just above the sink area, which does appear to have good clearance underneath it. To get into the bedroom chamber, which as I said earlier is made of wood and canvas, there are two glass French doors that open up, and I'm going to do that now and go inside. A description of the kitchen at the safari tents at Bontclair Rest Camp, Marikela National Park. The left-hand wall and the rear wall are made of concrete. The front wall is made of steel mesh and steel girders lined with mosquito netting, and the right-hand wall is partially concrete and partially mesh and girding. The idea is to keep the monkeys, the baboons, the honey badgers, and any other thieves from entering where tourists leave their food. Inside the kitchen, it's very well equipped. On the right hand side, there's a fridge with a lower freezer section. Then there is a microwave at a very reachable height. There's a sink with good clearance beneath it. There's two hot plates. The microwave is raised about 1.5 meters above the ground in a specially fitted cabinet. The sink on the left hand side of the kitchen has good clearance underneath of about close to 1 meter, and there's lever action taps on the sink, and there's a kettle, there's a drying stand, there's an intricate sort of shelf that's on a mobile trolley where you can store food and other commodities, easy to sort of move around. And yeah, in the shelves underneath the hot plates, there's a toaster, there's plates and bowls, and there's a tray with a teapot and milk jug and sugar pot, and then cutlery, various all sort of standard cutlery, but things like tongs and sharp knives and ladles and sieves and graters. So no, it's quite well stocked, this little kitchen. There's also some washing up liquid and cloth and drying cloth. Yeah, so one can be nice and independent here. Description of the inside of the safari tent at Bontle Rest Camp, Marikela National Park. The bedroom chamber is about 4 meters wide by 4 meters deep on three sides. The walls are made of canvas tent material with some wooden beams to give it shape and strength. There's two windows, one on the left-hand wall and one on the front wall, that when opened are lined with mosquito mesh. And the right-hand wall is made of thick concrete and provides structure to the ablutions, which are the other side of that wall. There are two beds in the unit that I'm in currently, with a little bedside table on either side of those two single beds that are pushed together. And for hanging up one's clothes, there is an A-frame shelf with a hanging bar with coat hangers on it. And then the actual shelf part has some extra blankets for the winter time at the bottom, and one can store one's clothes on the other shelves. And then you can probably hear in the background that fan is blowing. It being summertime now, it's very hot, and the fan is a welcome relief when one gets up close to it. Ah, that's good. The ablution chamber is lined on all sides by four concrete walls. It's about 2 meters deep, probably about 3 meters tall and 4 meters wide. And the roof, unlike the bedroom chamber, which has an A-frame rising up with the canvas tent lining the sides of the A-frame, this has a pine wood paneled ceiling with spotlights at various points in that ceiling. On the left hand side, as one comes in, is the toilet. In front of you is the basin and mirror, and to the right is the shower setup. And I think that's about all one needs to know there. It's about 9:30 at night, and I'm sitting on the veranda of the safari tent, and it's amazing what light does to attract insects and arachnids and other creepy crawlies. So if you don't like a bit of the smaller wildlife, then you're in for a bit of a shock. There's moths, there's centipedes, there's millipedes, there's solifuges, also known as red Romans or sun spiders, closely related to scorpions but not with a venomous sting. There's geckos, lizards that are nocturnal and feed on all these insect life that are attracted to bright lights at night. Quite an active little place.